And excuse me. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. If you take notes, I've entitled it The Word of the Cross. I couldn't think of a catchy title, and I don't think there's a catchier title than The Word of the Cross. It's just, it says it all. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Thus saith the Lord, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Simple, right to the point. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Father, as we come to this this wonderful passage, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us. And if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that this message might stir their heart and you might use that to call them to yourself through Christ. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would walk amongst us and pray that this word, this text, and the message, Lord, would bring conviction where it's needed, edification where it's needed. Whatever's needed, Lord, would you let us leave here with a blessing, an application perhaps, Lord, of how we might change our lives by applying your word to it. And help us, Lord, because you know we're just creatures of clay, and without you, we can do nothing. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, today is, or tomorrow is Memorial Day. And on Memorial Day, what we do is we celebrate the those who fought and died for our freedom. We celebrate veterans. We celebrate what it's all about. And I think every American, and I don't care what your political view is, but every American should stop and give thanks to those who gave their lives for us. The reason we have we don't have swastikas running up our flagpoles is because men and women were willing to die to see that that never happened. That's what Memorial Day is. And the word memorial means in remembrance. We're remembering the people that made our country what it is today, sort of. I really couldn't say that without saying that. And also, I would tell you, as I've told you many times before, everything that's in the physical realm has a spiritual connection, and that includes Memorial Day. In the spiritual realm, the elect, God's children, we celebrate the victories of our warrior king, Jesus Christ. We celebrate his victories over the world. We celebrate his victories over Satan, and we celebrate his victories over sin and even over death. And we celebrate these victories. Why? To glorify him, to memorialize him. And because the victories that he claimed and he bled and died for are our victories as well. There are victories. We have victories over all the things that he does. Colossians 2:13-14 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Wow! He made us alive with him, together with him. You're alive in Christ. Forgiven you all your sins, all your trespasses. Wiped out. Destroyed the handwriting of the requirements of the law against you. Gone. And he's taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Wow. That really means that the bloody cross has freed God's people from sin, the world, the flesh, everything. You've been freed because of his victory. And you're in him. So his victory is your victory. John 8:36 backs that up. Therefore, If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You're free, spiritually free. Now, what does it mean, being justified? It means that you're no longer held accountable for your sins. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2. What do we have a military for? To keep us free. What are some of the things we talk about in our country? The land of the free, the brave, the free. It's all about freedom. And freedom always costs. There's no such thing as free freedom. There's no such thing. There's always a cost, and true freedom always costs blood. You can't be free without shedding of blood. Why? Because the forces of evil in this world are so great, you have to kill them. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And in doing that, that's exactly what we do with our lives while we're here. He's already done it, and he's, as you'll see, he's given us all the power to do it. But that's what we do too. Listen, our warrior king gave up his throne, he gave up his home, he gave up his powers, and he was wounded for you. I call that being a veteran. When I was in the Navy, that's what I had to do. I signed a paper, I said, I'll give my life for my country. I left my home, I left everything that I had here. I went into a new environment and became a new person. I became a sailor. I didn't even know how to swim. Sounds silly, but I didn't. And then after Jesus gave up all of that stuff, what did he do then? He bled and he gave up his life so that we could be justified before God and free. And free from the bondage of sin in the world. That's what he did. Is that not what veterans do? Is that not what warriors do? Is that not what the Marines, the Army, the Navy, all of the Coast Guard, Air Force, isn't that what they all do? They fight to the death. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's why Memorial Day for the military that protected this country and still protects this country, it's important that we give them the credit that's due. I remember when Mike and I were, we didn't know each other at the time, but we served we were brothers in arms at the same time. When we got out of the service, people hated you. They called you baby killers, spit on your uniform, get in a lot of trouble doing that with a sailor, that's for sure, and a Marine. So it's different now, though. Now the population understands the sacrifices that military people make. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, this is a wonderful time for us to examine the examples that Christ left for us, because he did the same thing that the military did for our country. He freed us, because that's really what war is about, isn't it? It's about freeing people from things. Freedom. That's what our spiritual Memorial Day is all about. It's about our freedom. With that in mind, let me begin by telling you the word of the cross reveals God's view. If you look at that passage, in God's view, there are only two type of people in the world, those that are perishing and those that are being saved. I want to stop there. I want to remind you there's no third base. You are either a born-again Christian or you're dead as a doornail to God. There's no in-between. And you should remember that the next time somebody tells you that God loves everybody. Bring up that verse. Now, in writing his letter to the Corinthians, Paul makes three points. I find three points in this text that are interesting. First of all, he says there's the word of the cross. Secondly, there are despisers who call the cross foolishness. And thirdly, there are those who believe in the word of the cross. Those are the three points that I find in that verse. Now, he starts verse 18 with this first point, the word of the cross. What is the word of the cross? It's, first of all, it's the message of the atonement. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we've been healed. The atonement. Christ's death was the price that God required for Vinny and Judy and Brian and Tom and Ed to be justified before God. That was the price. All of God's people, he had to atone for every single one of us. And he did it in that one sacrifice. That's called the atonement. The word of the cross is the message of the atonement. And how do we know that he did that? Hebrews 9:22 says he had to do it a certain way. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Listen, if Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross, we'd all be going to hell. We'd be like all the angels. They didn't have a redeemer. A third of them rebelled against God in heaven in a great war in heaven. And of course, they lost. They had no redeemer. They were immediately locked in chains, except for the devil. They let the devil come out. But the rest of them were all locked in chains, waiting for judgment. That's exactly where the human race would be if God did not take his son's blood and pay your sin debt to him and mine, and all of the believers' sin debt. It's all paid in full. That's why we celebrate spiritual Memorial Day every day. Because every day you sin, and every day those sins are washed away. Atonement is everything. It's the price. I think it's Ezekiel 18:4 that says, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son. He owns them all. And in another place, it says, you are not your own, but you were bought with a price. And that price was the atonement, was the death of Jesus Christ. That's the only way, the only payment God would accept for man's sin against him. The word of the cross is also a message of judgment. We don't like that word. Some people think this country's under judgment. Probably right. Judgment isn't good. But we may be there, maybe not. All sin, listen, all sin, even sin on the back of Jesus Christ, had to be punished without mercy. Before he was crucified and the Father laid our sins on his back, before that happened, he was perfect. He was sinless, not a flaw or a blemish. The spotless Lamb of God, John the Baptist called him, who comes to take away the sins of the world. He had to be spotless. And he was, until his Father put the sins on his back. And when he did, he was mandated by his own law to punish that sin. Isaiah 53:4-5 talks about that. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Do you understand that? You and I are here today with the life that we're living today because our warrior king was willing to fight the world, the devil, the sin, and even help us to get over ourselves and die for you. No different than all the men and women who died for this country, with one exception. Their death is limited to this country. Christ's death is unlimited because it's eternal, and it covers every single soul that comes to God. It's crazy. Now listen, for those, and most of the world does this, for those who reject that sacrifice, the word of the cross gives a dire warning. There's a warning in the word of the Christ. Listen, if God went through the whole trouble of creating man, making a plan of escape so that they wouldn't all end up in a lake of fire, like the angel, or like a third of the angels, if he did all of that, every bit of that, and he lays it out and he says, all you have to do is accept my son, take his word and put it in your life every day. That the best of your ability, you're going to get it perfect? No. Are you going to reach your standard? No. Put it in your life and you do your best and I'll help you out. How about that? That's all he's saying. So his son left a bloody cross. He gave everything he had, and most of the world rejects it. I don't want it. How many times you go up to somebody and say, well, you know about Jesus Christ? No, I'm good with what I have. I'm good. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about it. Oh, I go to church. I throw money in the bucket. I got a great voice. All of that stuff. I pray all the time. I do all of that stuff. And you know what you tell them? It ain't enough. It ain't enough. Why? Because it takes blood. The only freedom you'll ever have is when somebody is willing to pay with their life to give you that freedom. And the only one that's able to do that is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can do it. You can't do it. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can be the greatest humanitarian that ever lived or ever would live. Ain't enough. You got to have the blood. And you got to have the sacred blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. So when he lays that out and the whole world just walks by it, this is what they're doing in essence. They're walking by doing this. Yeah, there's the blood of Christ. Who cares? I'm all right. I don't need that stuff. Let me tell you what God thinks about that. He says in Hebrews 10:29-31, he says, of how much worse punishment, not punishment, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're listening to this today and you have stepped all over that bloody cross, you have rejected the sacrifice that God has prepared before the worlds were formed so that you wouldn't die in your sins, and you continue to do it, buckle up. Buckle up. Because God has a special place for people that do that. And it's called the lake of fire. And it's as real. You know, there are people who say, I told you the story. When I was a kid, I was fresh. 8 o'clock in the morning, my mother was chasing me around with a switch. I outran her. And she said, well, when your father gets home, you won't outrun him. I said, okay. But it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I had all this time. You know, you're a kid. Time goes by fast or slow, huh, Miss Ava? It does. So what ends up happening is 3:30 rolls by and I'm starting to say, well, it's almost 4 o'clock. And then 4 o'clock came and I heard the door shut. Then I heard the belt come off. And I got to tell you something. It only happened a couple of times. You know why? Because I learned. And the same thing applies here. If you're rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior for whatever reason, I don't care if you think you're a good person, a moral person. I don't care if you think that you have religion. I don't care what you think, anything at all. If you don't come to Christ and ask him to save you, then you're going to end up in hell first, which is the holding tank. Judgment day comes. And everybody gets judged for what they've done, and they go into the lake of fire. Period. That's God's word. That's not my opinion. Revelation 14:11 adds to that. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. That's what you're looking for rejecting it. And you know, what did that blood cost you? You know what it cost you? One thing. Giving up your sin and getting over yourself. Okay, two things. And getting over yourself. That's what it costs you to have the wonderful blood of Christ. What? Change your life. Well, I'll show you. The word of the cross. And by the way, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior yet, You see me or call me if you're online, and I'll show you how you can, how the word of the cross can change your life. I'll show you how to do that. Okay, the word of the cross, there's also a message of salvation. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's most of the world. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know what the promise of that is? The promise is that those who come to Christ, those who do it, okay, will find something in their life that they don't have now. Peace, real peace, unconditional peace, joy, unconditional. Everything is unconditional with God. You can't come to God or go into his kingdom as a conditional being. You have to be unconditional. That's why you have to be regenerated. And he's calling people to come in, to come to him and rest in him. And here's his answer. If you do that, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 10:13. There's nobody here that says, well, you know, how long have you thought about God? 20 minutes. I didn't think of much at all. Okay, not enough. Go ahead. Next. That's not that. All are invited to come. All will come. Now, the problem is not all will come. The Bible says there is none who seek after God. No, not one. There is not one righteous. So we have to understand that, God, the word of the cross talks about judgment and it talks about salvation. And because God is perfect, those two traits are exactly equal. He doesn't think more of justice or revenge than he does of mercy and love. So if that's you, call me. I want to show you how God will change your life. Now, I want to be clear about something else. In the world we live in today, the 21st century evangelical church, the world we live in today is a little confusing. There are many, many gospels out there. Many gospels. There's a gospel of Cain. There's a gospel of prosperity. There's a gospel of man. But the Bible says there's only one gospel. There are not two inspired gospels any more than there are two sovereign gods. Why couldn't you have two sovereign gods? Because only one could be sovereign. There's only one. There are not two atonements any more than there are two saviors. There's no other way you can be saved. There's one gospel, one God, one truth, one atonement, and one Savior, period. New thought, altogether new thought. Paul tells us that in Galatians 1:8. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he is to be accursed. And as if that wasn't enough, I think it's the only place in Scripture where he repeats almost exactly the same words in the next verse, verse 9. Exactly the same verse in Galatians 1:8 and 9. That's how important it is to understand there's only one gospel. And by the way, that one gospel is only found in the word of the cross. Now, for those people who think, well, what about those other religious voices? What about them? What about their words? What about the gospel of Cain? The gospel of liberalism, the gospel of humanism, the gospel of prosperity, and a whole bunch of other poppycock gospels. What about all those things? Are they wrong? Absolutely yes. If there's one truth and one God, somebody's got to be wrong. I tell you that the voices that teach those gospels or preach those gospels are not from heaven or not from God. I tell you that their voices are not from heaven. They are the voices of the devil's disciples. The devil's disciples. In the evangelical church today, the devil's disciples by far are the majority. John 8:44 backs that up. Talking about people who were following him, calling themselves followers of Christ or disciples, he says, he told them, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. People have trouble with that. When you go up to people and you say, you know, there's only two spiritual fathers. You either have God, the Holy Father, or you have the devil as a father. There's no third base. And the only way you can, and you come into this world, and the devil is your father because of original sin. But once you come to Christ and you let that blood, that atonement pay for your sins, you're no, your father's the father of Scripture, the Holy Father. They don't like that. It's tough, tough to hear. But I want to tell you something. Dying and spending eternity in hell's got to be a lot tougher. And for those deceivers and devils that are in the modern church, for those people who teach that the word of the cross is, there's some that teach the word of the cross has changed to fit our time and our culture. If that's you, God says you're a liar. Simple. You're a liar. It's not true. Here's why. Christ, who, by the way, is the word, he's immutable. He never changes. Hebrews 13:8. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're deceiving yourself into thinking that God had one word of the cross for the first 20 centuries, okay, and then he changed it to fit the 21st century lifestyle, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. No, the instant Jesus Christ said it is finished and bowed his head and gave up his spirit, the word of the cross was complete. The four gospels were there, and the inspired epistles came right after that. They were sealed in his blood. They are preserved in his word. So never, never let anyone tell you there's a different gospel other than the word of the cross. No exceptions, no additions, no subtractions. It is what it is, and that's all that it is. Okay, Paul's second point refers to the despisers of the cross. These are people who think it's foolish. And actually, if you look it up in the original language, they're not calling the cross foolishness. You know what they're doing? They're calling the atonement foolish. That's what they're doing. In essence, they're saying God's sacrifice for sin is silly. It's just silly. That's the word. That's what the word foolishness means if you look it up in the original language. Silly or stupid. That's really what it means. Now, these despisers of the cross, there's two groups of them. The first group include intellectuals, educators, philosophers, and scientists. All people that have high IQs and just really are, they're just basic worldlings. In this group, the word of the cross is despised. You know why? Because they believe in the wisdom of words rather than the words of wisdom. Little play on words, but it's true. They believe in the wisdom of words rather than the words of wisdom. These are the words of wisdom that God has given us. And they despise the Bible for two reasons. Number one, the cross, what it represents, you can't measure it. They can't understand it. They can't measure it or understand it. It was Carl Sagan once. He was a great atheist who said, I don't believe anything that I can't touch, smell, feel, or measure. I don't believe it exists. And so a coworker who happened to be a Christian said to him, well, Carl, do you love your wife? He said, yeah, measure that. I like that. So what they do is these people, they dismiss the cross as I did before I was saved. I dismissed it as a crutch. Weak people use it to get through life because I can't get through life on my own. Too many things pressing down. I get depressed. I have headaches. I don't want to go to work. All that reason. It's a crutch. Here, use your God, use your Bible, get through the day, and then get up tomorrow and do the same thing again. That's what they do. They think it's a crutch. And secondly, the cross is foolishness to them because the things they believe in, they have a religion, you know. Those people have a religion, and their religion is called humanism. That's an actual religion. Humanism is defined as any belief system that focuses on the worth and the goodness of the human being. Now, I want to stop here and say that just this. There are many, many people in this world looking at it from a secular perspective. There are many, many people who are very good, morals, upright, standing people. They do anything in the world for you. That, right? We all know that, right? But the fact of the matter is, we're not talking about the physical world. We're talking about the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, there's no, the Bible says all man's righteousness is his filthy rags. There's no good person on this earth, God says, spiritually speaking, only Christ and those who are Christ's. None. And when you look on the internet, what do you see? Goodness? You see some. There's some there. But there's a lot of evil in our world. You don't even have to go there. That go down the street, go to Wendy's, go anywhere. I'll tell you how evil the world really is. We have to put thank you signs up in our lawns to thank people for doing what they were doing, instead of just making that something we should always be doing. Just a specific thing. Oh, thank you for taking the risk of helping us during this COVID thing, okay? We should be thankful to everybody all the time. That's what goodness is. That's why Christians are called to love their enemies, love your neighbor, be at peace with all men. That's a Christian trait. Now, Paul addresses these type of people who focus on a human's worth. In verse 20, he says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this world, of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The despisers of the cross use the wisdom of the world, how? In an attempt to fill the eternal void that they have in their heart. That's what it's about. Ecclesiastes 3:11 testifies, God has put eternity in the hearts of all men. He has put eternity into man's heart. That's what it says. From Adam and Eve to the baby being born at this very instant, and they have eternity placed in their heart by God. But these despisers of the cross, instead of putting God in there to fill that eternal void, they fill it with the wisdom of the world, with their own desires. People despise the word of the cross for another reason, because it reminds them that of their eternity, their sin, and their hostility to God. Romans 8:7 says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Today, the evangelical church is more of a show that the despisers are in, and more of a show than it is the house of God. Most churches today teach and preach seeker-sensitive doctrine. Why? They want to avoid speaking about hell, sin, and living biblically. They don't want you to hear that because you ain't going to like it. Instead, they teach men's traditions, and Paul says they teach the doctrine of devils. They have a religious habit. But Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:7, they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, all that being said, the main reason all other despisers and all other unbelievers think the word of the cross is foolishness is because, here it comes, they are all spiritually dead to God. Anybody that's outside of Christ is spiritually dead to God. So they don't understand the things of the cross. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and neither can he understand them because they are spiritually appraised. They don't get it. That's the main reason. And Paul backs that up in 2 Corinthians 4:4, when he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel. That's the biblical reason why most of the world despises the word of the cross. And I would say, because I've seen it here, that it's fair to say that any church today, without the word of the cross in it, is nothing more than an Elks Club with a cross. It's a little social event thing. That's all that it really is. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And I'll close with talking about a third point. And it was, but to us who are being saved, the power of God. The term, but to us are being saved, refers to people who feel God's power making them spiritually alive. You all should have felt that. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, in dying for us, Jesus Christ has set us free from the sin, the world, the devil, and even ourselves. We're free. All we have to do is every single day pick up our cross and bear it for his glory. And the power of God is so great, and you're all living witnesses to it. All of you here that know Christ is your Savior, have you not felt the power of God resting on you? Have you not seen the power of God changing your life? Have you not felt the power of God establishing you in his kingdom? Have you not felt the Spirit of God testifying to your spirit that you are the adopted sons and daughters of Jesus, of God the Father? You're adopted members of his family. That's the power of God. Have you not changed your influence and what influences you? Have you not changed your life as a new creature in Christ? Have you not done all of these things? You didn't do that on your own. You did it because God empowered you to do it. And in addition to transforming our lives, he endows us with a new heart and a new influence. Ezekiel 36:26-27. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Do you understand that everything that makes you who you are today came from the cross? The word of the cross, Jesus Christ, all came from that. That's why you're different. That's why you live the way you live. And to even help us get through this world, he not only regenerates you and transforms you and translates you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son, he gives you the fruit of the spirit, all unconditional stuff, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, all of it. They're gifted to you. And how does he top it all off? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He emptied out his house. Do you not get it? You got everything. You got his son. You got his spirit. You got his word. You got the storehouse of heaven. What's left? Obedience and submission by you, because you're what's left. He gave all of that for you. All of you listening this morning are proof that the word of cross has dynamically changed your life. How do we know that? Because our warrior king has sacrificed himself to free you from the life that you had of death, destruction, and decay. Romans 7:24-25, Vinny. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord and the captain of our salvation. And the captain of our salvation has not only freed us from the world, but he's freed us from the chains of hell, from the eternal lake of fire as well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you understand that? That's real. Those aren't just words. He gave his son that you would have eternal life. And when he did that, he broke all the chains to the people who take that sacrifice that he offered. Imagine this in your life. Imagine giving everything you have. This is everything you have. And you say to the world, that's yours. All you got to do is go pick that thing up and drink of it, and then live your life as best you can according to that. That's all he did. And do you believe most of the world won't pick it up? Most of the world will just step on that blood and never come to it. That's how blessed you are, and that's how you know that you are God's elect. Because nobody comes until he calls them. I want to have you go home rejoicing because of the word of the cross, and the power of God is working in you. And I have something I picked up. Someone has written this, and I thought it appropriate. We sit here like eagles, chained to the rock by the feebleness of our bodies, by the aspiration within us, but the aspiration within us tells us that we are born to soar among the glorified saints like an eagle. We feel that heaven is born within us, born by the word of the cross through the Spirit. Take that home. Use it. And remember, on this Memorial Day, Jesus Christ died to make you freer than all the militaries put together so that you would have eternal life with him. And don't forget our veterans as well. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the wonderful way that you move in our life, the changes you've made in our life. We thank you, God, for the wonderful grace you've poured into our life. There's so many things, Lord, that you've done to help us get through this life and into the next life. Oh, God, thank you for making us members of your household. Thank you, Jesus, for being our warrior king, the captain of our salvation even. Thank you for being willing to die, and especially the cruel death of a cross, a father's face who turned away, and all of our sins left on your back. You suffered for it all, that we might be here this morning to glorify you. And Lord, help us to take Memorial Day and make it an everyday spiritual event in worshiping and thanking you for the great victories you have given us and the great freedoms you have given us. Help us to thank you and praise you for that every day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is in hymn number 362. Blue hymnal 362. Nothing but the blood. 362. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. 362.